Welcome to the Web Steer Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Troubleshooting Tips and Hints for Web Steer SIBO Adapter. Today's presenter is Paula Jones. Paula has almost 27 years of experience at IBM. She has worked in several areas over her career. She has been in customer support for the last 7 years and is currently a Level 2 engineer supporting various WebSphere adapters. At this point in time, I would like to pass the presentation over to Paula.
Thank you, Joseph. As Joseph mentioned, I do work in WebSphere adapter Level 2 support, supporting various adapters, SIBO adapter being one. Other adapters that I support are JDBC, and some of our legacy adapters or WebSphere business integration adapters, such as MQ Series, JMS, Web Services, and various others. So today, what I'd like to do is just cover a few what I hope would be helpful troubleshooting tips and hints for the WebSphere SIBO adapter. Next slide, please. So today, we'll just follow this agenda. We've kind of already given a brief introduction, and I'll go through just a brief overview of the function of the SIBO adapter. And then we'll get into talking about some particular tech notes that I hope you will find helpful that have been able to solve other customer issues. And then we'll talk about a few what I think are helpful self-help tips to help you if you encounter any issues while using the SIBO adapter. And then we'll open it up, as Joseph said, at the end for any questions and answers. Next slide, please. So the SIBO adapter, it just provides a way to create a process to exchange information with the SIBO application or server. And with the adapter, you can send requests to the SIBO server or receive notifications when changes are made in the server. Next slide, please. So now we'll talk about a few of the tech notes that I hope will be helpful to you. And the format that I'll use is try to describe the issue that was encountered by the customer that prompted them to open up a PMR. Then we'll talk a little bit about what the cause was and most importantly, what was the solution that was given to this particular customer for that issue. And I've also included the actual URL for that tech note, so you could go back and read it in more detail at your leisure if it's something that you're interested in. And just one note, I wanted to say, you know, at the top that while I believe these tech notes were helpful in solving this particular customer's issue, I tried to pick tech notes that have been referenced to solve various customers that had the same issue. But in any situation, sometimes there's a different element in your environment that maybe this particular suggestion or solution doesn't readily solve your problem. But for the most part, these have been tech notes that have been referenced to cover or solve various customers that encounter these same issues. Next slide, please. Okay, so the first one I'd like to talk about was this particular case, the customer is using the SIBO 6203 fixed pack, and they had a error on the method get connection retry limit. So this particular customer had upgraded from a previous fixed pack from 6201 IF01, which is IF meaning an interim fix, top of the fixed pack. They upgraded from that version to 6203 fixed pack. And then when they tried to connect to the SIBO server, they got this exception, get connection retry limit. So basically what happened in this situation was the customer had other adapters installed in their environment. For example, it could have been, in this case, I believe it was SAP, but it could have been email, FTP, or, you know, any other JCA adapter that was installed along with the Siebel adapter. And these particular adapters had a different AFC or adapter foundation class embedded in those six packs. So when WGS was loading the AFC, it loaded the older version, the 6200, which was bundled with another adapter. So therefore, when the Siebel adapter came in and tried to invoke this method, get connection retry limit, it got an exception because this particular method wasn't introduced in that version of the AFC, which was the older version, 6200. So basically, it could have been this exception, or you could have gotten not only an exception, but maybe where application was running fine, you upgraded some adapter in your environment. In this case, it was the Siebel adapter. And then you start seeing weird results. You didn't make any other changes other than just upgrading that particular adapter. So one thing, not just for this particular exception, but at any time that you upgrade an adapter, say you're on 6201 and you upgrade to adapter 6203, you want to be aware and make sure that you're aware of what AFC or adapter foundation class is embedded with that particular fix pack. So in other words, say you had the Siebel adapter, the FTP adapter, and the email adapter installed. And say each one of those adapters were at fix packs. Siebel at 6203, email at 6201, say FTP 6204. Within each one of those adapters is an embedded AFC version. And you want to know what that is, because you don't want to have those at fixed max. In other words, you want them all at the same level. And in this particular case, it showed up that the Siebel adapter was trying to use a method that wasn't available in those older versions of the AFC. So in any case, if you ever upgrade, you know, Siebel adapter or any other adapter, you want to be aware of what that AFC version is that's bundled with that particular adapter's fix pack. There is a tech note out on our support portal, and I'll show you how to make use of that later on, but there's a tech note that exists that tells you how to check what is your AFC version. Of course, a quick way is in the trace log for your adapter. You normally see the adapter version printed out, and right after that, you'll see the AFC version. But there's also a way that you could go inside the RAR file and look at a file that would tell you what is that AFC version that's bundled with that particular adapter's fix pack. So just keep that in mind going forward. I think in the last 3 weeks, I know I've worked at least two or three PMRs where all the symptoms came in differently. In other words, something was working, now it doesn't work, or it worked before and now I'm hitting this error. It can rear its ugly head in various different ways, but a rule of thumb is to make sure that at least you're aware of what AFC versions are bundled with your adapter's fix pack, and that will probably save you a lot of headache down the road. And again, there's the URL. You could go read about this particular one in more detail, and then again, you could go on our support portal, search for just AFC, and you'll probably find the tech note that tells you how do you check your AFC version for your particular adapter. Okay, next slide. Now, this one was another situation where the customer's migrating from Siebel adapter 602 to 6.2, and they encountered problems when there was empty strings or nulls. So in this version of 6.02, when they were running, you know, their application was running fine, and they expected when elements were null or empty, those elements wouldn't be stripped. Well, when they updated to 6.2, they found that when these elements were empty or null, they were being stripped out. This happened because back in 6.1, there was a middle data layer added called the API to the adapters, and this was to enable the adapters to support different brokers. And some of the brokers are, and I may be using an old term, brokers, I mean runtimes when I say brokers. So this enables the adapters to support different runtimes, such as WPS, WebSphere Process Server, WAS, or WebSphere Application Server, or a WebSphere Message Broker, WMB. So because of this different layer added, when they went to this 6.2 version, they saw where maybe I was getting, you know, 10 fields and maybe 3 were empty, but I still want those fields. 6.2, you start seeing those being stripped out. So the developers provided a property called set, called include empty fields. And when you set this field to true, this basically gave you back the what you expected prior to this change being made in 6.1. And again, there's the URL there to give you more details, and I believe this information is probably now included in the latest Siebel adapter documentation also. So just in the case of sometimes there's changes made to support other things that may change a behavior that you had already developed for and you want to keep that same behavior. And in this case, this was a situation where a property was included to give you the same behavior that you expected in the past. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, this was just kind of an oddity. I just thought it was interesting to throw this in there, where 6.1 had a problem with trying to connect to the server using a particular code page. And the suggestion in this case was to set the code page for the entire JVM of the system at the application server level. And there's a way to do this within the admin console by setting these JVM arguments on the server. And this, setting it at the entire JVM at the system application server level, avoided this issue. And again, there's the URL for more details. Okay, next slide, please. This one, probably we, back during this time frame, we saw a lot of connection issues, those type of things. Maybe when the connection was idle for a while, or the connection became stale. So there became a need to support connection retry to avoid these type of connection issues and stale connection issues. So there were two properties that were introduced to help in this retry for the Siebel adapter. The first one being the maximum retries in case of system connection failure, or known as the connection retry limit. And basically this property says the number of times that the adapter will try to reconnect or reestablish the connection to the server. And also the adapter will validate the connection on the outbound operation as long as this setting is greater than zero. So this will help in preventing those type of connections or stale connection issues. And the second parameter would be the retry interval if the connection fails. In other words, a connection retry interval tells the number of times in between the attempts that the adapter would try to reestablish the connection to the server. So, for example, if you wanted to retry every, you know, 20 seconds or whatever is appropriate for your environment, you could use this option to set that. So the connection retry limit and how often do you try to retry are two useful parameters to set to avoid these type of connection or stale connection issues. And again, the URL is there for your reference to read in more detail. Okay, next. Okay, this was a case where the Siebel adapter, when it connects to the Siebel server, it connects with particular default connection settings. And then, so there became a way that we needed to be able to modify some of those settings depending on your environment. Maybe the default settings weren't appropriate for your particular environment. So you can use the Siebel.properties file to change some of those default settings according to your needs for your environment. And the reason is that the Siebel adapter uses the Siebel API to connect to the server. And with that, you're pretty much getting whatever those default settings are. But by using this Siebel.properties file and saving it to the class path of the adapter, you can modify some of those settings. And, of course, if you make use of this file, you know, you want to make sure that you restart the adapter and the broker to make sure it picks up the changes. But I tried to list here some of the settings that could be modified using the Siebel.properties file. By no means is this an exhaustive list, so I definitely recommend to refer to the URL if you're interested in what settings can be used. And I will even say with the tech note, that is not an exhaustive list. We do add settings that, you know, customers, you know, may come in and say, I need a way to, you know, modify this setting, and we are constantly updating that tech note. So I encourage you to take a look at it, see if those are any settings that will be helpful in modifying from the default settings. If there's some setting that is not listed there and you would like to make use of it, I strongly suggest that you contact support and request that. And, you know, definitely after confirming it with our developers, we will be glad to add that and make sure that it's a supported option that you can make use of in your environment. So when you get a chance, I definitely recommend taking a look at that tech note. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so now we've covered just a few tech notes. Of course, there are many more out there that could be useful to you, but I just tried to pick a few that I thought would be helpful if you ever ran across those type of issues. But now I'd like to cover a few things that are also helpful to avoid encountering issues. And if you do, a way that you can go off and do some self-help on the issue that you encounter. But, of course, if for any reason, you know, you're not able to find that help on our support site, then definitely contact Adapter Support. So some of the things I'd like to talk about is just our featured documents, or it may be known to you as the IBM newsletter. And this is based, talk a little bit about what that encounters. The next thing I'll cover is a little bit about our compatibility matrix. And this will probably help you in your planning, or if you're upgrading your environment, you know, various adapters, and you want to know, you know, what's compatible with what. The next one would be the IBM Support Portal, which is sort of the main engine to get to all of these particular helpful documents, such as the tech notes, the matrix, the compatibility matrix, the IBM newsletter, and so on. So then the must gather would guide you into how to interact with Adapter Support, what to provide them, and to be able to get the maximum use of working with Adapter Support. Okay, so we'll go through those now. So next slide. Okay, the IBM newsletter or the featured documents, you may hear this as, again, like I said, the IBM newsletter, but this document covers some of the most requested documents, as well as those that we have found to be valuable in answering questions about not just the Siebel adapter, but various adapters. We send this out to customers on a quarterly basis, and you basically subscribe to this. Now, this is also available on our support site for you to peruse at your leisure. And this document normally, like I said, includes spotlight tech notes that have been helpful or hot issues that have come in during that quarter, any planned maintenance for particular adapters and other products associated with the adapters. There may be helpful education links, such as the WSTE or IEA modules, education assistant modules, that you may find useful. So there's a tech note to the latest IBM newsletter. So, you know, maybe, you know, once a quarter, if you're not receiving that, to go out and take a look at that. And hopefully you will find some helpful information that you can use not only for the Siebel adapter, but other adapters. Next slide, please. Now, the compatibility matrix for the adapters. This particular matrix lists the supported releases and products, their operating systems, what platforms they run on, the runtime supported, whether they're supported on WPS or WAS or Message Broker or WASB. This is useful, like I said, in when you're planning or if you're just wondering if I upgrade my runtime to this, is my adapter still supported? Any type of planning or maintenance upgrade, I think this is a useful reference to ensure you that you're running with compatible products at their different levels. This particular matrix covers all the adapters, so when you go to this link, it's basically alphabetical order. So for Siebel adapter, if you click on the S, then you'll see all the adapters, you know, that begin with S, and Siebel adapter being one, and then you'll see the various supported releases, the operating system, runtimes, etc. Next slide, please. So here's just what you would see when you go to that compatibility matrix for the Siebel adapter, listing all the things that I mentioned previously. So this, again, this is just very helpful because a lot of times we get those kind of questions, and this is a useful document just to keep bookmarked to reference. Next slide, please. The next thing I'd like to discuss, again, is the IBM support portal for WASB adapters. And this is basically like a one-stop shop for all of the published documentation for the adapters, whether it be tech notes or the newsletter or the compatibility matrix or documentation. It's an excellent way to have a gateway into all of that wealth of information. And when you go to this support portal, the link that I provided you is specifically for the adapters, but when you go to the support portal, you have the ability to add other IBM products into your portal, such as the WebSphere process server or the Message Broker or WASB. For example, say if you're looking, you're having some issue with the Siebel adapter and WebSphere process server, you may want to include both of those in your portal when you search, so you can hit any documentation, whether it be a tech note or something else, that would refer to your Siebel adapter and WPS. If you didn't choose, say, those other products, it would only search in the adapter pool of documentation. So you can tailor your portal to whatever suits, whatever you need to search on. So I think it's very, very helpful, here in support, we use this quite a bit, especially if, you know, we get some PMR and we, you know, recognize the issue. We've seen it before, but maybe we can't remember exactly what was done to solve it. But if we've created that content, then we use that support portal and go out there and search for that particular content. So excellent way to get to not only those tech notes I talked about, but the wealth of other tech notes that are available, not only for the adapter, but for other products. And pretty much that just about any product that you could think of in your environment, you would probably be able to add that into your portal. So, again, on the IBM support portal for the adapters, probably the three sections that, you know, that we probably pay most attention to, the overview section, which kind of gives you access to, like I said, maybe hot tech notes or featured links that have, you know, been, you know, a hot issue, maybe a new fix that came out and there was a known issue that hit multiple customers, so you want to pay attention to those. Any flashes or alerts, you know, something's going out of support or, again, you know, some hot issue, maybe you need to refresh a fix pack or something like that. And then there's a section that says the most recent tech notes published, where it kind of lists, I believe, the top 10 tech notes that have been published recently. So if you just kind of, if you're a follower of that, maybe you want to see, you know, if there's been anything lately, fix pack just came out, let me see if anybody's hit this issue, then that's the place to refer to also. Another section would be the download section, where sometimes, again, well, I already talked about the compatibility matrix, but you may want to know, you know, how do I get the latest recommended fixes for an adapter? And, again, there's a link there that gives you that. I will say that if it's an iFix, then you won't see those on the website. Those have to come requested directly from support. So if for something that you know maybe, you know, that there's an issue that got fixed in some iFix that you was running, you upgraded, and maybe that issue popped its head again and you want to know if it's available in the iFix that you're running, then you would have to contact us. You won't see those on the recommended fixes link. Or if you need an issue, you already know that it's in a particular iFix version, then you would have to contact support to get that. Again, it wouldn't be on that recommended fixes link. And that's pretty much our rule of thumb for iFixes. You won't get those directly from the website, but definitely can get them from support. And the other section, I would say, would be the troubleshooting section. Again, this shows those troubleshooting tech note links. You'll be able to search for those, the must gather or different APARs that have been recently published. So the overview, the downloads, and the troubleshooting section, I would say, will probably be the three main links that I would take a look at. But there's also many, many, much more information available that would take you, you know, quite a bit of time to go through. But these would be the main three links that I would take a look at. And, again, that's the link for the adapters. But once you go into that support portal, like I said, you can add other products to search along with your adapters, such as the different runtimes. Okay, next, please. So this is just showing you just a screenshot of what that support site looks like when you go to the IBM support portal for the adapters. And so you can see this is the overview page. So you can see those featured links and the flashes and the alerts. I believe on the next panel you'll see, next panel please, the bottom half of that where you see on the far left corner where you see I have the Web3 adapters chosen, but at one point in time I had the process server included in my portal because I wanted to search on both. And so the other thing to pay attention to is that you can see there's a training link, and to the far right at the bottom you can see the most recent tech notes that are listed. And on the far left, the three main sections I was mentioning to pay attention to were the overview, the downloads, and the troubleshooting. see there's other sections, documentation, planning, installation, that have some helpful information also. Next panel, please. So here's the troubleshooting. This is basically where you would go when you're trying to search on, find those helpful tech notes that we've talked about. You can see up in the upper right hand that search box. I would definitely, you know, say to put in appropriate search criteria. Say if you're looking for that AFC tech note that I talked about previously, how to figure out what your AFC version is, bundle in your fix pack for your adapter, then, you know, put in a appropriate search criteria to get the best search results. Next panel, please. And again, this is just showing another screenshot of that most recent troubleshooting tech notes, or the top 10 that have been published recently. Next panel, please. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about tech notes and talked about how to do some self-help if you run into issues. But as I said, sometimes all of that still doesn't resolve your issue, and you need to engage IBM Adapter Support. So here's where the Must Gather will guide you into doing that. And I am the original author of this, and what we try to do with this is try to help speed up the engagement with Adapter Support. So when you encounter an issue, that it guides you in collecting the appropriate troubleshooting data, documentation, logs, etc., to hopefully make your encounter with Adapter Support go smoother and, of course, faster to get you a resolution as quickly as possible. And so basically the must gather including information like the system information, the symptoms, the what logs and traces you need according to the type of issue that you've encountered. And, you know, again, like I said, hopefully using this tech note, this must gather tech note, it enables you find the information that hopefully support can give you a quick answer if you have a non-defect problem that can be identified, or if there's already a known defect or workaround that's available. Giving the information up front will enable the support rep to be able to get that to you at a quicker rate. And if not, then it helps in aiding the root cause if support needs to engage development because they believe this is a defect in the product and development needs to provide a solution to that defect. Next slide, please. So with this must gather tech note, there, of course, there's a way to gather it manually, but there's also an automated collection tool that is called the Isolite that's available to help you in gathering all of this documentation that Adapter Support asks you for when you open up a PMR. So I definitely encourage you to use the Isolite tool when it's appropriate for you. It makes your life a little bit easier, but I know sometimes people are a little leery about using something that, you know, may feel corrupt their environment. There's nothing that's really installed on your system, so I definitely encourage you to go take a look at it. There's some information that it tells you more about what this Isolite tool is and what it does and what it does not do. And currently right now, Isolite 2 is only supported for WPS, Webspear Process Server, and Webspear Message Broker. I know they're probably working on other brokers or runtimes to have this supported. If you find that it's something that's useful to you, but you need it supported for a different runtime, please contact me or Adapter Support and make that request. That's something that we could go forward to ask the developers of this Isolite to include. But right now it's only WPS and Message Broker. do an automated way of collecting the documentation when you have to open up a PMR to engage with support. Next slide, please. But again, if you're not comfortable using the Isolite tool, of course you can gather the adapter documentation manually. Again, the must-gather guides you through depending on what type of issue you've encountered. It's basically designed depending on what runtime you're running. For example, with the SIBO adapter, if you go there, you see, say, runtime WPS or WASB, and you click on the particular runtime, and it will step you through, depending on the type of issue you have, whether it's a build time issue. In other words, when you're running the external service wizard, maybe discovering objects, you're not able to see a particular object when you're running the ESD. Or if you actually were running the adapter during runtime and you hit some exception, it will guide you through what you need to provide support for a runtime issue, what type of tracing you would need to set, how to do that, recreate the issue, and then gather the various trace and log information, FFDC files, and et cetera. So it's a good manual step-by-step, what do I need to give you support to quickly, you know what my issue is and hopefully get me a quick resolution. So I definitely encourage you to take a look at that must-gather link so that if you have to engage adapt support, you will know up front what to information to gather to include that in your PMR when you're opening. And that would definitely speed up, instead of having support having to come back and ask you, piecemeal, I need this, I need this, to avoid taking up your time, which I know is very, very valuable. But in the long run, what we hope with this would do would speed up to get your resolution to your issue. Next panel, please. So this is just kind of what that must-gather looks like. Like I said, you would say click on the particular runtime, and this one is for the Siebel adapter. And under that particular runtime, depending on, say, if it was WPS, it would tell you what to gather for if you encountered a build time issue versus a runtime issue. Next slide, please. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about tech notes that I hope will be useful in solving your Siebel adapter issues. We also went over a few self-help tips and hints, like taking a look at our IBM newsletter, our compatibility matrix, our IBM support portal, which kind of gives you a gateway to all of this information that we've talked about. And if all else fails, you have to engage support, then the must-gather would enable you to have a quicker and hopefully a smoother engagement with adaptive support to get you a resolution to your issue. Next slide, please. Okay, and this is just a few additional WebSphere product resources links that I hope you will find helpful to get other information, a lot of self-help information like IBM Education Assistant and other web class replays for other topics such as the Siebel adapter. Many of our support reps do these sessions for other adapters and other interesting topics that customers have run into, so I definitely suggest you taking a look at those WSTE webcast replays to see if there's interesting topics that would be helpful to you. Next slide, please. Okay, with this, I'll turn it back over to Joseph.
Thank you, Paula, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Robbie Baradia. Your line is open.
Hi. Excuse me. The issue is that we use WPS 6.2.01, and we use Siebel adapter 6.2.03 to connect to our, the instance of the Siebel. So now the issue is like we have two connection factories, and for our application server, we have kept the thread pool, the number of threads to be 5. So since we have like a two connection factory, so I just wanted to ask if we will, will we have like 5 threads, or will we have 10 threads, or?
I would say that you just would have 5, but I would probably need to look into that further. If you want to send me an email, I'll definitely look into that for you and get back to you on that. My email address is on the first slide of the presentation. It's phjones@us.ibm.com. But I'll be glad to look up that for you and get back to you, Robbie.
Okay. See, the issue is that our Siebel instance allows us to have 20 connections. And so the issue is if we start to sync the data, they will start fine, but it'll start to happen maybe after we have synced about 1,000 customer orders or anything like that. We'll start to see that all of those connections are already being used up, and we start to see the error that it won't be able to open another session in 4 attempts and that kind of issues. So.
So you see connection unavailable or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I could just tell you a blanket statement, increase your thread pool, but, you know, that may just temporarily fix it for, you know, whatever that workload was at that time. You know, it's probably something you definitely would want to look into to see, you know, sometimes, you know, you may need to tune your environment, accommodate when you have those heavy workloads versus maybe that only happens on Monday morning or Thursday afternoon, but you want to be able to tweak your environment to handle, you know, the low peak and the high peak workload. But, you know, I would say probably, you know, you could adjust that up some depending on what you know your high workload level is, but without knowing, you know, exactly what the workload is, you know, how many events you have flowing through, that kind of thing, it would be hard for me to say exactly. But I would definitely say you could probably play around with that to see if that helps in the situation. If you continue to see those kind of issues, then I would say definitely, you know, you can engage adaptive support and using that must gather link, and, you know, we definitely would be able to look at that into more detail for you.
Okay. And, excuse me, I just wanted to ask another question. The way I explained that the way we have had our, the minimum threads and maximum thread, we have it at the server level, but the way you explained, I think it was slide 3 or 4. We can have that property file where. So if we use that property file, then though at our server level, if we have the maximum threads set at 10, but if in that property files, if we have the maximum thread and the timeout to be maybe the threads are set to 4 and the timeout is set to maybe 3,000 millisecond or something. So, excuse me. Yeah. So if we had it like that, and so it'll be fine. We won't see any issues.
If you're not using that Siebel properties file currently, then you're getting whatever the default settings is. So I would say probably you're getting whatever you set, you know, for at the server level. So I would suggest going to take a look at that tech note with the Siebel adapters Cibo dot property file to see what are the options available. In that tech note, it lists what those settings mean, and see if those would be useful for you when you're connecting to the Cibo server. So, right off the top of my head, I can't. If you're not using that, then like I said, I think you're just getting the default settings of whatever that is when you connect to the Cibo server.
Okay.
Thank you, Robbie.
I appreciate your help. Thank you.
We have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.